be through the month of March, as Pastor Karsten mentioned. You've already received your March connection, and so you can see the good things that are going on. But during this month of March, I want us to focus on the goal. Would everybody please say goal? God has a goal in mind for you. Now, when you think of that word goal, I want you to just go with me to some sporting event somewhere and just think about the fact that you know, that who's ever on the team, they're called to score a goal. They're called to put it in the goal. And here's the truth about God's plan for your life. God has a bigger plan for me than I have for myself. No matter how grand your plan might be, no matter how big the plan is that you have for yourself, God's plan is bigger. God's plan is greater. And the primary reason for this is because God's plan for you is not only for here, but God's plan for you is for eternity. As you live out God's plan, it's not only going to bless your life here and make you productive here and make you a blessing here, but God is going to use what you do here for all of eternity. And how you score your goal is going to depend on how you spend your life. How you put it into the net, if you will, is going to depend on how that you spend your life. Now, in the spiritual realm, there are a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us as we try to score this goal, as we try to live out God's plan. And I want you to say this text with me. It comes from Hebrews. Let's say it together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, we've got this huge crowd of witnesses that surrounds us. Now, I love Edmonton. I think Edmonton is one of the greatest sports cities in the world. And the Apostle Paul never had a problem drawing analogies between sports and faith, because every athlete who's a professional, you understand, whether they realize it or not, God has given them that talent. God's given them that ability to spend themselves. And so in football, how many are Eskimos fans here? There's a few Eskimos fans. But in football, when they score a goal, you're going to hear the commentator say, "Touchdown, Eskimos!" And I think he says something in a goal for high school football. I think that's what he says still. And so that's what happens with the Edmonton Eskimos. Now, how many of you would recognize this guy? I mean, we have one of the greatest sporting facilities downtown. Rogers Center is a great spot. Does anybody know this guy? Connor McDavid. Now, here's how many of you think he's the best hockey player in the world? You know what? It takes a team to win. That's a good application for the church. Hello, if you believe that, say amen. But when Connor McDavid goes down the ice, when he shoots the puck, the commentator goes, "He shoots, he scores! Edmonton!" You know, that's good. And we all celebrate. It's really exciting. Does anybody know who this guy is? Who's this guy? Somebody tell me. Yeah, I heard it. Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, I got to confess, I'm not a big football or soccer fan, however you want to call that, but I am a fan of what you're going to see in a moment here. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's one of the greatest soccer players in the world, and in order to kick that little ball into the net, he makes some $45 million a year. Yeah, but does anybody know who this guy is? Who's that? Messi. Yeah, he's Messi. Lionel Messi, and he plays for Barcelona. And I'll tell you something, he makes that 45 mil that Ronaldo makes, he makes that look like pocket change, because this guy makes 110 million to kick that little ball around. 110 million. And now, well, I've said I'm not the biggest soccer fan. I am a fan of how many people this draws. This is the biggest stadium in the world. It's actually in Pyongyang, North Korea. And it's the May Day football soccer stadium. And when this football soccer stadium is filled to capacity, you know how many people it seats? 150,000 people. Can you imagine? Can you imagine kicking a soccer ball into the net? And now, this is what I love. Now, can we read this text just one more time, please? Because this is about your life now as a Christian. Now, if you're here today, and you're not yet a Christian, I've got great news for you. You can become a Christian today. The Lord's ready for you. He's done everything for you to become a Christian today. I'm not talking about just have a mental belief in Jesus. Like, you can become a Christian today. But for all of you that are here and you've already become Christians, I want you to apply this now, because this is about you. Would we read this one more time, please? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, if Messi, is that how you say his name, Messi? It's a terrible last name, isn't it? Messi. But he's a good kicker anyways. If Messi was in the Mayday Stadium, I don't know if Barcelona goes to the Mayday Stadium, but if he was there with 150,000 people, this is what I like the best about soccer. I like this the best. Because if Messi, and this is after he scored a goal. If Messi scored a goal, do you know what happened? The commentator would say this. And as big as that might be, actually, would you mind, would you stand with me? Would you stand? Now, I just want you to imagine for a minute that you're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. And when you put the puck in the net, when you make the touchdown, when you take the soccer ball and when you score, that this great crowd of witnesses, because it's not about a game. It's not about a trophy. It's about the eternal destiny of men and women all over the world as you allow God's plan to be unfolding in your life. Now, this great big crowd that's surrounding your life as you live out your life of faith, when you score the goal, would you humor me this morning? Just one time. Can you do this? Can you do the big goal? How many can do this? Okay, there's 10%. Come on. I think that the winning last breath is going to come from this section right here. Okay? But now, there are rules for this. One breath only. You can't stop. I know everybody's going to be saying goal, right? Goal. And don't do this. Don't just go goal. Goal. I promise you, that's not. Listen to me. When one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. One sinner. So when you put the puck in the net, when you get the touchdown, when you kick that soccer ball through the goal standard, when you kick that thing through, I think somehow this great crowd of witnesses. So would you humor me just this morning? Because I'm not quite sure what it's like in heaven. But I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and then I want you to go goal. Now, I already did it. I have no breath left. Are you ready? If you're ready, say amen. Amen. Okay, so draw a breath, and I'm going 1, 2, 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You won back there. Give yourselves a great big hand. Hallelujah. That's good. Amen. Now, stay standing. Grab your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I won't make you read it out loud. You're all out of breath now. As big as the celebration is when McDavid scores a goal, as big as the celebration is when Messi kicks the soccer ball into the net. God's plan for your life is so much bigger than that, friends. So just follow along. I'm going to read here of God's plan for your life in Ephesians 2. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you. Lord, I am grateful for people all over the world that you've gifted as athletes. I love watching the Olympics. I love watching people that you've given gifts to, and they've honed their gift, and they've honed their craft, and they do it for the betterment of themselves and how you've created them and for their nations, Lord. But I want to thank you, Father, today for the goal that you've given every man and woman of God. I want to thank you that that goal begins with God's plan. And I pray, Father, today that you'll remind us of God's plan for our lives. It's bigger than anything we could ever dream of. It's better than anything we could ever hope for. And so, God, I'm asking that you would allow us to align ourselves in a greater measure today with that which we have been created for the glory of the one who came and lived and died and rose again, that we might know life. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's nothing more important than God's plan for your life. Nothing that you can devote yourself to that's any greater than God's plan for your life. And God's plan for your life is delivered through Jesus Christ. Now, as we begin this series on goal, we're going to look each week at one letter. And today, we're looking at the letter G, and we're talking about God's plan. People who have realized God's plan understand that God's plan brings dead people to life. You know, before you knew God, you weren't just sick. Before you knew God, you weren't just not feeling well. Before you knew God, you were dead. Would everybody please say dead? Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Now, I'll tell you something. Only God can bring dead people to life. Only God is the one that can take something that's dead and make it live. And so when you understand God's plan for your life, you understand that he brings dead people to life. And the reality is this: as those who are made in the image of God, there is a price to pay by rejecting God's gift of life. For the wages of sin is death. Now, you might say, well, wait a sec, I thought you said already that if we don't know Jesus, we're dead. That's true. We're dead spiritually, but you're created in his eternal image. You are created in the image of God, and so there is an eternal destiny for everyone, everywhere that's ever born. And the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, would you please say free gift? And circle that in your notes, please, free gift. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do except this free gift that comes to us through Jesus Christ. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that free gift, when you receive that free gift, that means that you're going to experience Christ right now, but you're going to live with him forever in heaven. But people who don't experience that, people who don't receive that free gift of God, they go to a place that was never created for men. And it's an eternal place. And there's no passing after this life between hell and heaven. But people that don't receive the free gift of God, because the wages of sin is death, they go to that place that was created for the devil and his angels because they reject the gift of life through Jesus Christ. And so there's only two eternal homes. There's heaven and there's hell. God wants you today, all of you, God wants all of you to receive this free gift from Jesus Christ. You see, people that understand God's plan understand that, God brings dead people to life, and, there's a price to pay. And now when God raises the dead to life, there's also a position to play. Like when God takes something that's dead and raises it to life, you're on his team. He's given you a gift. He's given you a calling. He's given you a talent. He's given you things to do. And there's a position in your new life to play. It's not like he raises you from the dead so that you don't do anything, but he raises you so that you can play the position that he has intended for you. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ. And so you have, those of you that have accepted this free gift of God, you have the resurrection life of Christ living in you, in the person and the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He leads you. He guides you. The Bible says he gives strength to your mortal body. He renews your mind. He allows you to do the things that God has called you to do. You've got a position to play. Those that understand that only God in God's plan brings dead people to life also understand that every person on earth must receive this life in Christ. God's heart is that everyone would receive this message of Jesus. For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Now, we understand that not everyone will receive this gift, but our job is to take this gospel to the whole world. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we have a $350,000 annual budget. That's why we have a mission Sunday. And we say to you as a congregation, would you set aside offerings so that we can see the gospel of Jesus Christ go to the ends of the earth? Because everyone has sinned. Everyone falls short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. If you're glad that your sins are forgiven, would you say amen this morning? I mean, this is the good news. This is the good news. I was once dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I was going to hell because of my sin, and now I'm going to heaven, and you can go there too, because Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for you, and God raised him from the dead. So those that understand God's plan, first of all, understand that God alone is the one that can bring dead people to life. Secondly, those who understand God's plan understand that it's God that bestows the divine privilege to live by. When you are accepted by God, he gives you this divine privilege to live by. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. The hymn writer put it like this: nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. There's nothing I can boast about. There's no good work that I can bring. It's only by grace that you've been saved. And God bestows this grace upon your life. God bestows this privilege upon your life for everything that you do. For every place that you go, God goes before you. God's plan works ahead of you. God's plan is all around you as you look to him and look to him daily for grace. And the moment that you receive Jesus Christ, you know what happens? You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, for he raised us from the dead. You once were dead. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. And you might say, well, wait a minute. As I look around, I know that many of these people are Christians and we're all seated right here. That's true. But spiritually, you're seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. You know what? Your eternal home is in heaven. You're going to enjoy it down here. God created this earth so that we can enjoy it and that we can you know, serve him and that we can prosper according to his will and that we can be a blessing as he blesses our lives. But our home is in heaven. Like we're enjoying all of earth, but our eternal destiny is in heaven, and you're seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. Those that understand that God's plan is all about his grace also understand this, that your Father in heaven, he loves to show you off as a testimony of his grace. You know, I remember years ago, if you had kids that they had wallet photos years ago. Wallet photos, and you know, somebody would pull out their wallet or their handbag, and they'd, remember those things? You'd pull them out and they kind of fell out, a whole bunch of them. Now we've got smartphones. And if you've got kids or grandkids, I mean, you sit down with somebody at the lunch table and you know what you do? Oh, look at my son, look at my daughter. Hey, this is them doing that. And you say, look at my grandson, look at my granddaughter. And you just love. It's just what you love to do as a parent. You just love to share in the joys of your children. You know, God's the same way. God's the same, the Father's the same way. When you're living according to God's plan, when you're living according to God's goal, God loves to show you off. It says, so God can point to us in all future ages. So not just now, not just in the 70, 80, 90, 100, 105-year period that we have down here. God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and his kindness towards us, as shown in all that he has done for us with Christ Jesus. This is what I've said. If God has a fridge in heaven, your picture's on it. He's got your picture on it, and he says, angels, come on over here. Look at what Bob did. Look at what Jane did. Isn't this awesome? Look at what they did. And I mean, God sees when we live our lives according to his plan, and he just loves it. And I mean, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, he's going to be showing us off throughout all of eternity as a testimony to his amazing and marvelous grace. The Father loves to show you as a testimony of his grace. Now, those of us that understand that God's plan is all about his grace also are amazed that the Father actually calls us his daughters and sons. He doesn't just call us servants. But the Father calls us his daughters and sons. See how very much the Father loves us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. For he calls us his children. He calls us his daughters. He calls us his sons. And that's what we are. If you've received this grace of God, you're adopted into God's forever family. You are children of God. And I love the simple Sunday school definition of grace. This is just right in the word. It's because of the cross, right? Grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's not what I've done. It's all about what Jesus Christ did. It's all about that love letter written in red that God gave Christ so that we might become the children of God.